the next, you know, what we've been covering. And so just, I'm going to do a really quick summary, and then I'm going to get into it, okay? Because last week I went backwards and forwards because we had newer people here, which is great. Amen? The week before was more solid, line upon line, and so you can listen to that online. We've already had people messaging it saying you need to put it on Facebook, okay? And so one of the things that we're dealing with right now for me as a missionary to the United States is the mess America is. I've been here 23 years, and I've never seen anything like it. I love America, and sometimes I think I love America more than you do. And this started on the 4th of July, by the way, the message, okay? So our main scripture has been Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the American church and how the country has been in a spiritual battle against the schemes of the devil, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, which is Ephesians chapter 6. Can we just move to the next graphic? That would be great. Hallelujah. And last week I told you I'm looking for a few good men and women that are American Christians. We need some help here, guys. We need some Christians with some guts. We need some Christians with some guns, which probably I'm on about spiritual guns, clearly, because I don't have them. But I guess I could work on it a bit. But I'd rather work with spiritual, you know, I don't know about you, I prefer spiritual. I think I'm okay with Paul on that, for those of you who know scripture. But anyway, Ephesians chapter 6 says this: finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. I want to emphasize this: against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And so we've been discussing this, and then this week we want to move on to verse 16 a little more, which is, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. The PDP version of the Bible, that's the Pastor David paraphrase, says it this way: in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can defend yourself against the flaming darts of the evil one. Amen. So before we can learn how to defend ourselves, we need to know what the schemes of the devil are. Can I hear an amen? And so Paul, I've taught on this a little bit, but just for those of you that haven't heard me teach on this, one of the interesting parts is Paul and the early church already knew what the schemes of the devil were. They already knew. In Ephesians, he doesn't go over the details of the schemes of the devil. He just goes ahead and says, you know them already. And in fact, in 2 Corinthians, if you'd go there with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, we can see the apostle Paul is teaching the Corinthian church, and they know. And they're the carnal Christians. They're not mature yet. They already know. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. And Paul says this. He says, so that we, as in Christians, would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. I've got the New American Standard here. It says, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. So that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan. In other words, if you're ignorant of his schemes, the devil can take advantage of you. Hosea 4:6 in the Old Testament says that God said to his people, my people perish through a lack of knowledge. And if you carry on, it's about the word of God, a lack of knowledge of the word of God. And so we see this issue of, we should know the schemes of the devil. We should know how he's going to attack us with these fiery darts. And what are these fiery darts? We've got to look at that. And so what we can take from this passage of scripture, that Paul is implying that Satan has the advantage over an ignorant Christian. Let me say that again for you. Satan has the advantage over a Christian that is ignorant and does not know the knowledge of the word of God. And that means if Satan has the advantage over you, Christians will be destroyed, will be disadvantaged and led into captivity. I want you to think about America right now. Once a major Christian nation, 1800s, great revivals. Today, everybody's stuck in bondage, including the Christians. As a pastor, I feel like I got so many people with missiles coming in on me, I don't know which one to get first. That's why there's, I can't remember what the number was. I heard someone say the research was that 1,700 pastors every month is leaving the ministry. They're burnt out. The families are burnt out. They're stressed out because the enemy has got a hold. Now, I've got to add this. I also think it's the reason we're struggling is because the church has moved away from teaching Scripture. We've moved away from teaching the Bible with the right heart of God. And so we got a whole group of people that think God's mad at them. And really, he just loves them. He doesn't like what they do. Can I be honest? As parents, you love your children, period, right? I did say that right. It's okay to say period?
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes I say full stop. You don't understand that, right? Okay. That's full stop is for the English crew, okay? So God loves you. You love your kids, period, right? But you don't always love what they do. You don't like what they do. And so God's the same. You know, he doesn't like everything we do, but he loves us. Period. Full stop for the UK crew. So this also means that Satan is disadvantaged when a Christian has good Bible knowledge. When they're not ignorant, Satan is disadvantaged. See, the opposite of this scripture says that if you've got knowledge, then the devil's going to lose. Right? But if you don't have Bible knowledge, then you could lose. And over the last week, just to help others that don't know the mission and the message the Lord's given me since Easter, is the reason we're losing is the devil was able to take out the face shield over the United States Christians. The face shield has so many holes in it, no one knows what to do anymore. Guys, Christians have no idea how to respond to things because they haven't got the doctrines or the teachings to say, I don't believe that, and that's why I don't believe it. And I believe this, and this is why I believe it. The devil comes up and says, well, you should just approve of gay marriage. We got churches splitting on that right now. Right down the line, Methodist Church, how many of you know the Methodist Church has gone through a process, there's other churches going through processes where they're trying to, they've lost the message of the Word of God. What is the faith shield? The shield of faith is what you believe about the God, of God and his promises. It's your shield. Anyways, so you know that if you actually know that, then you're going to be safer. Can I hear an amen? So from this passage and knowing Paul's teachings, we can also say this from the text. Paul is implying that the devil doesn't change his devices or schemes from one generation to another. He does not change. He's not, I was going to mess with him, but I won't. The devil is the same yesterday, today, until his end. Okay, notice it's not forever, okay? His schemes and devices are knowable to every generation. We can know them. You can know them. So the question we have to ask is, what is the devil's schemes? And last week we learned, I'm going to do this real quick because we've already covered this, Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 to 3 was part of it, and then Revelation chapter 20, verse 7 was the second part of it. And that is, in those passages, you find out that Satan's purpose, his whole mission is to deceive people. His whole mission is to deceive the nations. Okay? And I'm moving on because we've already covered this for the crew that's been here the last couple of weeks, okay? But it's online if you want to catch up. His whole purpose is to deceive you. The word deceive has the idea of causing you to roam from safety, to roam away from truth, to lead you into error, to seduce, and to lead astray. That's what the word deceive means. And so if we don't know what the schemes are, or what the flaming darts are, we can't use our face shield to protect ourselves. So we have to know, what's his tool? What's he using to get to us? And Jesus tells us that in John chapter 8, verse 44. He says that the devil is a liar. He is the father of lies. Okay, so we can see that deception is the issue, and he uses lies to deceive us, and it sort of moves on, because it's not just lies, it's words. And again, we covered that last time. Can we have war of the words on, war of words up? The what we're dealing with is really the war of words. You see, God's word versus man's word. Remember Ephesians 6 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So the devil uses people also to mess with our face shield. It's not just you're getting the other parts, like thoughts, ideas, words, and information. He's using people. And the words are the fiery darts that are really the fiery darts. They're either going to build your faith or they're going to destroy your faith. And I showed you a video last week of really negative words towards somebody and how you can destroy somebody, like calling them stupid. You know, I think the phrase I used was sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's not true. It's words. And if you hear that you're stupid over and over again, it will affect you. It will affect your faith. It will affect your belief. And so we have to remember that faith ultimately is a belief that you act on. Belief, you act on. So first of all, most of us just get thoughts to our head, right? And we just throw them off, or we ignore them, or we try and ignore them. But every word is a seed. Every word is a seed. The parable of the sower gives you a parallel to that. But in the parable of the sower, we talk about the word of God as the seed. But the enemy also has weeds, and he puts seeds that are weeds to try and destroy you in your mind, which gets into your heart. When it gets to your heart, you will do the action. Once you do the action, you believe it. You start to believe it, and then you do the action. Can you hear an amen? So he's going to deceive you through words. So this is why the other passage here, oh great, thank you. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Amen? So faith, you could put there that belief comes from hearing and hearing. Because the word faith and belief are interchangeable. In fact, in the Hebrew, we tend to look in the Old Testament, you'll see the word belief more. You won't find the word faith. So the next phrase, faith comes by hearing. So your problem is who are you listening to? See, whatever you're listening to, watching, every word you're hearing is affecting you. Every word that is spoken to you potentially is a fiery dart to destroy your belief in God. We live in the world. The world doesn't know God. And so we have to be careful. What are we listening to? Because words are the key to develop your faith. Everyone here today has a belief, a faith in God. It's based on what you've heard. Some of you, before you came here, I know I'm thinking about Ashley right now. She said, you know, a long time ago, it's like walked away from God because, you know, it just seemed like, according to the teaching, he was a mean God. You know, God is in control. So if you're sick, well, he must want you sick. Right? I mean, how many of you heard that teaching? Basically, God's in control, and if you're sick. So here's the line. God loves you, and I've talked about this last week, how the devil set this up. His main missile, his main fiery dart was straight into the Christian seminaries. As soon as you had revival in the United States, people start living for God. The kingdom of God rises up, the righteousness of God rises up, and the devil's going, uh-oh, we're having our prisons released. People are getting saved, and the devil's losing control over his authority, his kingdom, because Jesus is moving in the United States. Just like Russia and Ukraine, the fighting going on there, they're doing tactical missile strikes. They're fiery darts, tactical missile strikes. Where should we hit? So the devil uses a message with the seminaries and gets to the professors and teaches false doctrines in their seminaries so that the pastors will then teach false doctrines to the sheep, and then the devil gets the sheep back. Brilliant. And if you don't believe me, my little passage last week was, so 1800s, there was a group that were fighting against it. There was a whole group. There's about 20% of the Christians were fighting against that false teaching. But it got into the country. God's the main two doctrines. God loves you and God is in control. God loved you and he is in complete control over your life. And then the devil brings World War I and World War II. We get to 1945s and 50s. These wonderful mothers and wives lose their husbands, their children. And the church's message even today is, God loves you and he's in control. No wonder America lost God. Can you see how clever the devil is? I'm trying to show you how clever he is. He doesn't. I had an encounter with someone who was, I am spiritual as well as academic, okay, faith-based. But in Open Door, a long time ago, a woman came to the church, and I'd heard this before from the devil. My mission work takes me to some strange places, but this lady, she was carrying a spirit. Bless her heart, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and she said, Pastor, I want to help you. I want to help you. And she was pretty seductive as well. Okay, seductive in the way she did it. And I was like, okay, I pray for me, intercessors. We need help here. And I said, well, we let it roll. I let it roll. And I said, well, look, you just keep coming and we'll see what the Lord has for you. And her words, and I still remember it, it wasn't her. It was the enemy underneath it. That's okay, Pastor. I can wait. I have all the time in the world. That's the devil. He looks at us. We got like an 80-year, 90-year lifespan. He's, you know, nearly unlimited. So the point I'm trying to say is this was a plan. And so can you see how the best missile is to take out Christian leaders that are teaching true doctrine, true scripture, and taking out parents that are teaching the truth, and taking out, you know, leaders that are teaching the truth. So we have to be aware. So let's have a look at what he does. Genesis chapter 3. I'm trying to get there quicker. I'm probably not going to get there as fast as I want, but it's okay. How many of you are getting something already? It's reminding you from last week, because Genesis 3, when you do Bible interpretation, there's at least 12 basics we do to make sure we teach it correctly. Usually when it gets taught incorrectly, we've missed at least one. And one of my favorites is the principle of first mention. The principle of first mention. Anybody heard of that before? I'm trying to help you because I want you to grow, because when I'm not here and you have something hit you, I want you to know how to do this. I'm here training you, not just preaching to you. All right? I want you to be the best you can be at understanding the Word of God, that you'll rightly divide the Word of God, and the devil will not get a hold on you. I want you to punch his lights out, okay? We got to. The system's fallen, and the Lord was showing us through this last few weeks that we need some people to make a stand, and I'm going to make a stand, even if I'm on my own. I don't think I'm on my own, though, right? So Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it's really the first moment we see the devil, the serpent, brought into the Bible, and we see the original fall of mankind, Adam and Eve. And so Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, now the serpent was more crafty. Say crafty.
Crafty.
So what does that suggest? Sneaky? Deceptive? Sly. Just think about it. So already, I mean, Genesis, we can tell from the Jewish roots, they knew the devil was, the Jewish roots, sorry, I just assumed you knew that. Because we're talking about the Old Testament, it's a Jewish book. So it's the Jewish roots. And we can see that they understood that this serpent was crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? I want you to just hold there for a moment. I want to remind you of a couple of things. The number one way the devil will deceive you is through words. He will challenge the word of God, which is also the will of God, and he will challenge it with words. Okay, so you've got to keep that in mind. So when you read this passage again, now the serpent was more crafty, and then his words were to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? See, he's already changing God's words, and he's a bit slimy about it. He's trying to suggest, not just that you, he's really suggesting to her in some ways that you misunderstood God. Can you see it?
Yeah.
A little bit of a misunderstanding. And so the woman, with the knowledge she has, said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. But God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden," which he didn't quite say that, but it's okay. And then she added something, "And you must not touch it, or you will die." So her face shield already has a crack in it. Okay? Can you see it? But it's not broken yet. We're okay. But she uses her knowledge, even if it's only partial knowledge of God's word, and his will, it's his word and his will, to defend against the devil's challenge. And she does well. Come on, let's be honest. At least she knew some. Guys, I mean, we could go out there now, and America is pretty well biblically literate. They don't know the word of God anymore. So let's not give her a hard time, okay? Let's not give Eve a hard time. But the devil responds again. I'm adding a little bit there. "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman. So he's now challenged her back. She's put her face shield up, and now he's throwing another fiery dart to see if it'll penetrate. "You will surely not die." And then he adds this, "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." But you will be like God. Can you see it? It's a word. It's just a word. It's not really a fiery dart coming in. She's not seeing this fiery dart flying in on her. It's a word knocking the word of God, testing her trust and faith in God. You see, what he also challenged here was God's goodness. See, if you don't know this, you'll miss it. See, he challenged God's goodness by saying underneath it seductively, "You know, you think God's good, but he's withholding something from you. You think he's your best mate, but he could give you that tree and you would be just like him." Can you see the seduction? These are lies with seduce. These are why they're called fiery darts. They've got something on them. There's something more on them that will mess you up. And this dart gets through her shield. Because the woman listens to the serpent and decides to look. Can I tell you, a lot of sin is done with your eyes? We'll come back to another day. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, I'm adding this, she obeyed the serpent and then took it and ate it. She obeyed the serpent. Eve had knowledge of God's will, but did not recognize the deceiving nature of the devil's words. Her faith moved from faith in God to faith in the serpent. Guys, can you see this? The same way the devil approached Eve is the same way the devil will approach you. The devil will deceptively lie to you about God's character, his relationship to you, and this challenges your understanding of who God is and how he feels about you. If it succeeds, just like a child predator, the devil has gained your confidence away from the true authority, your true parent in your life. Usually this does not look like evil, it looks good. So some people say, well, we have to choose between good and evil. No, we have to choose between good and God. Yeah. Really, that's a message in itself. We need to choose between good and God, especially when you look at Genesis 3. These are little things that you don't notice. Once the devil has got you to doubt God's character, the foundation, your faith in God is weakened. Now the devil's purpose is to complete his victory by getting you to disobey the word of God, which is called sin. When you sin, you have obeyed the devil, making the devil your new master or small god. Now you are under the devil's authority. You're back in bondage. The whole purpose of these fiery darts is to gain mankind or your authority in your life. Even when we push this out on CD or other people listen to this, this is probably one of the most important messages the church needs to understand. Christians need to know this, that he's not interested what you sin or how you sin. He just wants you to sin, because as soon as you sin, you disobey. Sin is disobeying God. As soon as you disobey God, you have lost your authority over the devil. Now, you'll try and take authority over the devil, and that's why Paul and Peter says, the reason your prayers are hindered is because you're not living right. You're not treating your wife right. You're not doing this right. You're not living in unity, love, and unforgiveness. A lot of our prayers, the reason why the church is very powerless in the prayer realm is because we're not living right. We're not doing what's right because the devil has a hold on us. Yeah, I'm not going to touch that. So, the evidence, Genesis 3:1. Did God really say, the devil challenges the word of God, you will not surely die? So he lies to you, and these are the flaming darts. Now, here's the big one for most people. When we talk about this type of stuff, these type of messages, we're always looking for the problem. But I want you to know, in the Garden of Eden, there was no sense of harm or danger. Guys, you need to get that. There is no sense of harm or danger to Eve when the serpent came to mess with her. That is America today. The American people are living the good life. It's a great life, but there's no real sense of danger. There's no sense of harm. We're just going around enjoying life. And so we think that we're okay. We think the devil's not bothering with us because everything's okay. But I want you to see from this passage, it's not the case. Eve was just enjoying paradise in the Garden of Eden. No sickness, no disease, every provision made. She had the ultimate good life. Yet the devil went after her authority. Too many, The serpent came to her like a friend, showing her a better way, a way of blessing or a benefit that would enhance her life. That's how the devil might come to you. Doesn't come with a pitchfork. He's going to come and seduce you if you're trying to live right for God. Too many people are only protecting their face shield, their thought life, when danger or problems are present. But when they're not present, that's when you need to be extra vigilant. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So I really need to probably get close to closing. So I really want to get into the face shield. I promise you 2 weeks in a row we'll get to the face shield, okay? It sounds like it'll be next week. To summarize what we've learned so far, the devil's schemes are deceptive words and lies about God that are thrown at your mind. I'll give you an example right now. Information overload. Anybody that's always on their texting or on the computers, internet, right? That's information overload, guys. How about media? How many movies can you now watch on streaming? I mean, you could sit in front of the TV probably for 20 years now and just press one program after the other and it just keeps going, right? It's information overload. Everything we listen to, everything we read, every word you listen to, hear, or watch is giving you a message that is going to challenge your face shield. And if you don't know your face shield, you will start to become like the world and you won't even recognize it. And it seems good. It looks good. Most of you know that I like chocolate brownies and stuff like that. And how many of you know if I eat chocolate brownies, donuts, what other cakes can we think of? Ice cream? Oh, I could just sit in Culver's all day and eat custard ice cream. How many of you know if you do that, you're going to be sick? Sin is a sickness. And it shouldn't be in the church. We can expect people outside the church to be dealing with it, but it shouldn't be in the church. We have to defend ourselves with our face shields and push this sin stuff away. And we have to protect our ears, our minds, so that our mind is not hit constantly with negativity, things that are not of God. He will use words against your faith. There's many Christian ministries out there. There's so many ministries online. You can sit and watch Google YouTubes on Christian TV all day long. But if you don't know what you believe and why you believe it, you will, your face shield will be damaged. I'm just saying as a parent right now, as a shepherd, you will be damaged. 80% of the Christian TV I've seen is not spiritually correct. You're probably down to 20% and maybe 10 right now because we are surrounded by Calvinistic teaching. And so, and I can show you with one scripture how that doesn't work. Amen. So we need to be aware of that. And that he's using these words that are fiery darts to penetrate your face shield. This face shield is your faith in God and his promises. You might want to write that down. It's really important. Your face shield is your faith. It's your belief in God and his promises. I'll cover it next week, but that passage in Ephesians, really the parts of the armor, there's so many teachings on this. It's not wrong. The teachings aren't necessarily wrong, but we keep focusing on the armor of God, the shield, the spear, you know, the shield, the helmet of salvation. But really that passage, it was an illustrative sermon. Paul didn't care about the armor at all. You could actually delete the armor. You need to look at what he said without the armor, and then you understand what he's really saying. And we can touch that next week. But the point is faith in God is the issue. Can I hear an amen? Again, the devil will challenge the word and the will of God. And you will choose to either obey or disobey. So this is where it gets weird, okay? Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. Because I don't know about you, I'm just still human. I enjoy life. Do you enjoy life? 16, verse 25. I'm getting close. This is my second close. I do need to mention one more thing and then we will close. We've got a couple more things and we'll close. I just want to mention 16, 25. There is a way. Sorry, Proverbs 16, verse 25. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Notice it says there is a way that seems, I'm going to say right or good to a man, but in the end it leads to death. It implies that it's not right, it only seems that way. This is what the devil plays on. He plays on it. So again, how will Satan deceive you or make you stray from God? He will lie to you with words. He will lie to you to twist God's truth by speaking words to you through, and you might want to write these, there's four ways he's going to try and get to you. Number one is thoughts. He's going to mess with your thoughts. He's going to mess, number two, with ideas. Ideas. Number three is suggestions. We've all had them. And number four, other people. He's going to use other people to speak his words. And it can include Christians. It can include pastors. It can, you know, you understand what I'm saying. There is nothing off limits. The devil will do whatever it is to take down your face shield so he can gain the upper hand on you by getting your authority. Once he has your authority, you have to get it back. Amen. And I think we'll pick up there next week. Did anyone get anything from that? Would that make it much more simple? Words, deceptive words, are the way he's going to break through your face shield next week. And I'm going to pick up straight off. I'm not going to cover this again. I'm going to pick up straight off next week, and we will get into the shield of faith and how to win. Amen.